Russia very clearly does not have the authority to do so. If you want to go ahead and move forward with this mandate, or I suppose change OSHA's authority, you're going to have congressional approval. Now, sane people, sane politicians, said this was the best move in that mandate, that part of the mandate. They celebrated this because really this means you have some freedom from an overzealous federal government trying to mandate you to get what effectively is a medical procedure done that you don't necessarily want to do, that you may not need to do. Florida's Attorney General, Ashley Mahdi, she comes from Florida, so naturally she is. Coming from Florida means politically you're probably astute. You probably have some other issues, but politically you're astute. And she celebrated this on Fox Business.
I thought they were very clear, and this was a win, not just for freedom. Obviously, Governor DeSantis and I are working to keep Florida free. We're defending freedom every single day. But this was a win for the millions of employees that were desperately trying to hold on to their health care autonomy, and for the employers that were going to be faced really with another tax, billions in compliance cost. So we are praising the Supreme Court's decision as to that mandate. It was spot on.
Not everyone is praising the Supreme Court's decision. We told you about the owner of Portage Bay a few days ago. I think it was on Monday. We mocked her because if you're known for having a brunch spot, you're probably the type of person who likes to mandate things. I'm just throwing that out there. Probably just an insufferable person who wants to rule over people's lives.
Is that what you think of every brunch place that exists in Washington?
The ones that are known for their brunches.
Oh, so if they have just a good brunch, yeah. Oh, you're done.
Yeah, it means you're just snooty. They're saying, no, I'm not going to serve you breakfast.
How dare
alone.
They not
you're
serve?
Gonna you're going to have breakfast with weirdly placed lunch items that don't really match.
It's the most important meal of the day. How can they refuse
it? No. Brunch is not a meal.
Breakfast.
Breakfast is. And it's also not the most important. The most important meal of the day is the one that you eat when you're hungry. How's that? So she, of course, said she was mandating the vaccine for her employees. Because remember, no matter what happened in the Supreme Court case, a business still gets to decide whether or not they're going to mandate you get vaccinated. And so, of course, this owner wants to impose her medical beliefs on others, and she was unhappy speaking with Como TV.
You can't have a business, especially a business like ours, without having healthy employees and without having healthy guests.
You can't have a business, especially like ours, without healthy people. What business can you have with unhealthy people? I mean, other than a medical center where you need to have some sick people to come in, other than that, what are the businesses that thrive when everyone's sick? Unlike movie theaters, where everyone could be sick. Restaurants, brunch spots in particular, everyone needs to be healthy. Now, if only the vaccine actually stopped you from getting and spreading Omicron. The Omicron virus evades the vaccine. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get vaccinated. Again, that's a conversation for you to have with your doctor. I am vaccinated. It makes sense for me. I think it makes sense for the vast majority of people. But if you don't want it, okay. I don't care. I will get COVID at some point. You will get COVID at some point. I frankly have to assume that I have either already had COVID and did not realize it, or I am born immune, as some people are, to this disease. Because I've been to Phoenix 3 times, no masks. Orlando and Tampa, no masks. Dallas, no masks. New York City in the height of Omicron. Some masks. Las Vegas, some masks. London, no masks. All within the span of just a few months. And I have yet to catch COVID. Granted, I've just made it so that when I walk home today, I will catch COVID. And I'll be the only time someone catches COVID outdoors because of what I just said. But let's be clear, the vaccine does not stop Omicron. Now, her company has a vaccine policy. You either get vaccinated or you get tested each week or you find another job. So she adopted the Biden rule anyway, which was always the intent of all of this. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but President Biden knew that this vaccine mandate was unconstitutional. But he did it to put pressure on businesses to install this. So Amy Fair Gunner, that's the name of this owner. She has no clue how a Supreme Court operates. She's absolutely clueless.
I feel like the Supreme Court is a little bit more of a pro-business decision as opposed to a pro-public health decision.
Hey, dum-dum. It's not supposed to be pro-business nor pro-public health. That's not what the Supreme Court is there for. The same way you're not there to be pro anything other than deliver good food. Not your hot takes. The Supreme Court is there to go over the law, the Constitution. They didn't take a position as to whether or not it was a smart idea to have a vaccine mandate. Nor did they take a position that it is a smart or silly business decision to offer a mandate. Now, Amy, if you had any clue what the hell it is you were talking about, you would know that. But again, you don't care about the role of government. You care about whether or not people will do what you want them to do. And in fairness to Amy, she's not the only stupid person when it comes to this. Or hold stupid positions. I should not call her stupid. That's my mistake. I apologize. I mean, I believe it, but I don't want to call people that. I'm trying to be nice, except again to producers. But she has a fundamental misunderstanding of how all of this works. She does. And she doesn't hide it. She doesn't care to hide it. This is quite literally about virtue signaling, about telling the world where you stand as if her take on the Supreme Court or vaccine mandate matters outside of her own staff. Cuomo goes to her like, okay, and who cares what she thinks? Well, Jason, producer, said we have to have a 3-minute hit and we need to include some sort of sound. Fair enough. Fair enough. Another business that has decided to say, yeah, we don't really care about science or, frankly, our workers. We care about imposing our beliefs on them. Columbia Sportswear said all of the workers at the corporate headquarters in Portland better be vaccinated or get an exemption by February 1st or you are out of a job.
I think anybody who's paying attention understands that while some people might view this as an individual decision, it's actually a community obligation.
Oh, see, it's not your decision as an individual. It's a community obligation. It's a community obligation to get vaccinated to protect yourself and others from a virus that the vaccine doesn't stop you from contracting or spreading. Okay. They have adopted talking points from last year and apply them to a virus with a variant that no longer follows the same rules as the previous variant. They haven't updated their language whatsoever, and they don't plan to. They like the idea of saying, well, vaccines work, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not dirty like them. But this vaccine doesn't protect against the Omicron virus in the way that you say. It doesn't stop the spread of it. It doesn't stop you from getting it. So how is it a societal thing? It's purely an individual's decision. It's purely an individual decision. Now, the data suggests, although we need a lot more on this in this particular topic, it suggests so far that part of the reason why Omicron is, in fact, as sort of cold-like as it is because the people it infects, if you're infected with it and you have the vaccine, the vaccine help cuts down on the seriousness of it. Now, I don't know if that stands the test of time or if that's just an assumption we're making based on what we do know the vaccine does to the Delta virus. Don't know the answer to that. But to be clear, if you're saying it is a societal must-do, you have to for society's sake, you're implying that getting the vaccine means you can't catch COVID. That is a lie. That is not based in science. It is not based in the data. It is not based in any of what we know about Omicron. But they will not change their talking point. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Push the button. Local tax expert Greg Nunn says the IRS is offering relief options to help taxpayers affected by COVID-19 who owe the IRS, and that includes those currently in a payment arrangement. Contact Greg at 425-947-1967 or Google NUNN, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
Oh, he's not having a good week. It's not going well for Joe. It's not going well. Not because he saw the Kamala Harris interview on the Today Show. That made literally no sense. It was all just, it was quite literal at some point, just gibberish, which in fairness to Joe Biden is usually how he speaks. But a new poll came out from Quinnipiac, and it shows that only 33% of adults approve of his job performance. 33%, 53% disapprove. Think about that for a moment. In fact, that's worse than the poll they did beforehand. The one they did, what was it, a month ago? 33% overall job approval for Joe Biden. And it's down in the issues that people care about most. Coronavirus, he's only got a 39% approval rating. His handling of the economy, only 34%. It turns out that when you put a meme on Twitter about how you created more jobs than any president in the history of the world, but the way you define create jobs is allowing people to go back into the office after telling them they can't go. So not actually creating new jobs, just allowing people to go back to their jobs that they previously held. Let's be clear. That's not job creation at all. And people know that. When you tell us that you solved the problems of the supply chain, but then people go to the grocery store and see empty shelves, they kind of notice that. When you tell us there's no issue at the border, only for people to then go online or watch TV and see days worth of video of illegal immigrants rushing across the border, they tend not to believe you. When you tell us the pullout of Afghanistan was a rip-roaring success, despite the fact that a bunch of American soldiers were killed because you made the decision to pull out the military before pulling out the citizens on the ground, people have a tendency to notice, which is why, by the way, your foreign policy approval is at 35%. The guy who talked about how he has had a lifetime's worth of experience on these issues. 35%. And by the way, 49% of the country says you're doing more to divide the country than unite the country. Only 42% said you're a uniter. You tell us all the time the reason why you became president was you wanted to unite us against Donald Trump and the millions of white supremacists who supported him. And we were supposed to be like, well, that doesn't sound like you're uniting anyone. And then you call everyone more and more and more names because they disagree with you on some things. And what's particularly good news for Republicans is that Joe Biden is underwater with Hispanic voters. He's only got 28% approval. 28% approval. Where do you think they're going, Hispanic voters? They're coming to the Republican Party. And we saw with Donald Trump, who supposedly is this virulent racist who thinks all Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers, they voted for him. Hispanic voters voted for Trump in larger numbers than any other Republican president. And as a result of all of what's going on, more and more people are disappointed, including, by the way, the bread and butter of the Democratic Party. Younger voters don't like him either. Now, it doesn't mean younger voters are going to start voting Republican, but it means they're not going to vote. And if younger voters don't support whomever is the Democrat nominee, then the Democrats are done. Especially when you combine it with the Hispanic voters making an exodus from the Democratic Party. 24% of 18 to 34-year-olds support Biden's performance. 30% of the 35 to 49-year-olds support his performance. It is remarkable how bad he is doing. But it's not shocking. Not really. Not when you think about it. Not when you hear big announcements on how you're going to go after COVID and you start it like this.
Now, I don't like to outline the next steps we're taking
don't
against.
Want to? Don't like it?
I'd like to outline the next steps we're taking
Wait,
against over, the Omicron variant.
What? What are we here for? Tell me what, huh? What are you saying? And it certainly doesn't help things when you have a vice president who isn't just unlikable, to put it mildly, but someone who makes as much sense as you do when asked, what would it take for you to change up your COVID policy? You know, obviously things about COVID change. Omicron is different than Delta, thank goodness. What does it take for you to change policy?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
What? It's time for us to do what we're doing, and that time is every day? It's like a dyslexic fortune cookie? That's also a riddle, I think. What does that mean? Seriously, what in the world does that mean?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
Okay. Oh, you got more.
Every day it is time for us to
do what you've been doing? To agree.
There are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
So every day is the day to agree that we have tools to slow this down. But how are you implementing the tools? By agreeing that they exist. Every day. I can't. I can't anymore. Not, you can have all of the CNNs and MSNBCs in the world pushing out the propaganda to make it seem like you guys are competent. You can have nothing but, you can get rid of Fox News, you can get rid of KTTH, you can get rid of every single conservative outlet. You could have nonstop CNNs. Nothing will help get people to think you have any clue what it is you're talking about.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
Thank you, Kamala Harris. It is time for us to do traffic, which is what we do every day at this time, at every day, and we do it. And yes, go.
Yelm, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Renton, where police have arrested a 14-year-old kid, a 14-year-old boy, in connection with a murder, a fatal shooting. Officers on Wednesday night responded to a report of a shooting outside of a Circle Foods. They end up finding a 54-year-old man, suffering with multiple gunshot wounds, laying on the sidewalk, dying. Now, medics arrived. Between them and the officers, they tried to save this man, but unfortunately, the damage was already done, and he ended up dying at the scene. Now, according to police, they said the shooter got into a black SUV and left the scene, and detectives were able to track down that vehicle, and they were able to find the suspected shooter. And so Valley SWAT operators, detectives, special operations units, they all got together. They served a search warrant at the apartment where they suspected the shooter was, and they made an arrest, and it turned out that it was a 14-year-old kid. Now he is booked into King County Juvenile Detention, and they ended up finding out that, oh, we are kind of considering him a suspect now in another murder, one that happened in 2021. They're saying we believe that he might be tied to this. Now, I haven't seen if they have any updated information as to whether or not he was responsible or how he was responsible. Was he just there? Was he the guy who pulled the trigger? Don't know. But he's 14 years old now. Depends on when he turned 14. He was either 14 or maybe even 13 when the other murder occurred in 2021, if he is in fact responsible. These are the kids who continuously get a pass from progressives. These are the kids who the King County Prosecutor's Office doesn't really have any interest in prosecuting until they get to the point where they murder someone. And even then, they'll likely go light. That is the county in which we live. And it is a prevailing position of a lot of prosecutors. Not just in King County, but across the state, across the country, that we are not supposed to punish juveniles. Juvenile felons who brandish a weapon at school, yeah, we're going to put them in a restorative justice program. We're not actually going to punish them. I have argued over and over and over again on the show, on TV, in writing, that when you do not punish kids who have already shown a propensity for violence and you decide that you're going to put them into restorative justice programs, you are creating another victim out on the streets or multiple victims. When a child, whether it's 13 or 14 or 17, if they already turned violent, if they're already using weapons, if they are very clearly already not taking advantage of the help that's being offered when they're low-level criminals, you're not going to get them to change their mind. When we talk about restorative justice is a program in which instead, in lieu of going to jail, you put them in some program that gives them the support that they need, the guidance that they need, the advice that they need. You keep them accountable, etc. It can be incredibly beneficial so long as the right groups are behind it. Unfortunately, in King County, we've ceded this power to some of the most extremist ideologues that are anti-police, that are anti-jail. They are very, very far to the left. We have given them the power over these kids to fix them, to help them. No wonder it's not working. But in the hands of responsible people, it could work if you get to them before they start to get incredibly violent. I say that because when deciding whether or not you're going to put someone in a restorative justice program, what you need to do is weigh the consequences, weigh the risks. If someone's only crime at 13 years old, 14 years old, is stealing food at the 7-Eleven, stealing candy bars. I know it's one of those examples that everyone gives, but let's go with it. Well, what's the risk of putting him in restorative justice if it doesn't work? Maybe he steals another candy bar. Maybe he elevates his next crime one step up. One step up of stealing a candy bar is not murdering someone. Is there a chance that he graduates or she graduates to that kind of crime? Yeah, but the chances are smaller, slim, that they're going to do that. So you say as a society, okay, we are willing to risk this kid committing another similar act, criminal act, if it means that maybe we can save him. That makes sense to me. And I'm all about that. When someone has already pulled a gun out, as King County prosecutors use as an example, bringing a gun to school and brandishing it. If they've already done that, or they're driving a car attached to a drive-by shooting, which was an example we talked about last year that ended up getting into the court system where then the prosecutor said, oh, we'll do restorative justice. Actually happened a couple years ago. The risk there is too great if the restorative justice program doesn't work. The risk to the public, it's too great. I would rather care more about their future victims than the criminal themselves. But folks on the left believe that the criminal is the actual victim, usually depending on their age, but not always, and almost always depending on their race. That if it's a black teen or Latino teen, they are victims. Victims of a society that doesn't treat them well. Victims of a society that is filled with institutionalized racism. And thus they are owed second, third, fourth, fifth chances. If you're a white kid who committed any of these acts of violence, to jail you go. You've already got white privilege. We're going to punish you. Because we over-incarcerated black people, we're now going to over-incarcerate white people, in their view. I take a pretty simple approach to this. I don't care what your race is. What did you do? You brought a gun, you shot it, you waved it, you threatened it, you robbed a convenience store with your gun? Yeah, no, you're going to jail. I don't care whether or not the restorative justice program has a 50-50 chance of helping you. Tie goes to the society. Tie goes to the future victim, especially knowing the kinds of organizations that we contract with here in King County. Now, is this an issue outside of King County, specifically the restorative justice programs where they're being occupied by some of the crazies? It's kind of unique right now to King County, but what do we say about policies that start in Seattle? Because that's where these organizations are from. They're from Seattle. It's not Vegas. Bad idea spread here. And all of a sudden, those same activists find themselves in positions of power in Snohomish County, Pierce County, Thurston County. I mean, you look at the Islands County, you look at the prosecutor there. He's a crazy person. Far to the left. Far to the left. This stuff spreads, and we're all worse off because of it. So I'm very curious to find out more about this teenager out of Renton. And I certainly hope that he's tried as an adult. But as a 14-year-old, he's going to be considered more of a victim than anything else in this state, in this county. And that puts all of our lives on the line. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. When we come back, I'll give you a nice, interesting update in the battle between Kittitas County commissioners and the Washington State Department of Transportation and the offer of help that was turned down as a result of staff members with Kittitas County not being vaccinated. We're going to get into that and so much more when we come back. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. Don't forget, if you missed my appearance on Fox News Primetime or last night on Fox News at Night, head on over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/JasonRantz, or just text the keyword Rantz, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. We've been following closely this argument between the commissioners in Kittitas County and WashDOT. Kittitas County says, hey, we offered to help clear snow, but you wouldn't allow us because we don't force our workers to get vaccinated. WashDOT now has responded. Joining me on the line to discuss is our friend Chris Sullivan from our sister station, Kyle Radio. Chris, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, Jason.
So, very quickly, what was the start of this argument, and what is WashDOT now saying?
Okay, so earlier in the week, the county commissioners in Kittitas County put out a press release saying they offered to help clear the passes and help clear the snow during the really bad snow recently, and WashDOT refused their request for help because they do not have a vaccine mandate. And so that basically ballooned into the county basically saying the state is putting its priorities on philosophy and politics over cleaning and getting the highways open. So it kind of went into that. And
just so people remember, I mean, we're talking about a snowstorm that shut down passes, that shut down roads into unincorporated counties. This was a significant issue and people were kind of trapped.
Yeah, this was a pretty significant storm, too. And WashDOT's head, Roger Millard, said earlier in the week before this even brewed up that he wouldn't have sent anybody up there into the storm to do it because it wasn't safe. It was just such that kind of a storm. But anyway, so we've talked to the commissioners from Kittitas County about this. And yesterday at the Senate Transportation Committee, Roger Millar, the head of WashDOT, countered back and basically said Kittitas County is making this up. It's false information. It didn't happen. All that happened that he would say that is truthful in this entire thing is that they offered help, and WSDOT denied it. What he said, and what is interesting, is that, and the county admits this too, they made the request to help WSDOT on Tuesday, the 11th of this week. The pass opened on Sunday. So it's a little late for the county to be going, hey, we offered our help to clean the passes 2 days after the pass was open. So that's the first thing Millar said. And he goes, basically, this all comes down to, on Tuesday, the county found out that we, the DOT, gave a $40,000 contract to a private company that signed off on the vaccine, said they had their employees were vaccinated, to clear this one rural road. And this is all about Kittitas County being upset that they were passed over for a $40,000 job and not anything about public safety, not about opening the passes, and this kind of spilled over into this.
But they should be upset. I mean, they should be upset. Let's be very clear. Because, and by the way, when WSDOT says it's all a lie, well, no, it wasn't a lie. They acknowledged that they were not going to go with Kittitas County, and Kittitas County could have done some work. Now, they're diminishing the work, right? I mean, they're saying it's just this one road into unincorporated okay, whatever. You have workers who are in their cabs, in their snow plows, by themselves. There is no reason for them to have to be vaccinated or not. It wouldn't ever come into play. And so this idea that
WSDOT counters that by saying that the people do, they do much more than sit in a cab.
Okay, what do they do with the members of the public that is in a unsafe space?
Well, they say, for instance, if another truck driver comes into the cab after a person who has it, is that truck safe? They also say that they go and they meet with other people in, say, a break room or at the shed when they're redoing it. For WSDOT itself, the technicians there, not the Kittitas County folks, but they are also helping as first responders in accidents and things like that. So Roger Millar says there's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, accidents that are outdoors, right?
Exactly. But this is what he is saying. I'm just telling you what he's
saying.
I'm
not arguing with you. I'm arguing with his dumb point. Because as he's making that argument, you have hospitals right now in Washington State who are having staff members who are symptomatic and COVID positive coming back to work, working with patients. They are treating patients. Right now it's happening at MultiCare. It's happening, I believe, at Puyallup Samaritan. It is happening all across the state. And so if that is safe, going into a hospital where people presumably are sick and having COVID-positive symptomatic staff members treat patients, you cannot tell me that going outdoors and being unvaccinated while being COVID-negative is dangerous. If you are COVID-negative, you are no threat whatsoever, period. End of story.
Yeah, so I agree. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I'm just telling you that this kind of has devolved into each group basically saying the other one is lying, and that's what it's devolved into. And what's interesting, though, in Roger Millar's case, the head of WSDOT, he kept saying yesterday at the Senate transportation hearing something that's not actually true either. He kept saying that all state agencies must follow the governor's vaccine mandate. And that's just not true, which is also kind of a funny piece of this. It only applies to quote-unquote cabinet-level agencies, so the people who sit in the table around, you know, but if you're like at the Parks Department, it doesn't apply to their contractors. Mm-hmm. So much so that we even saw a post from the Parks Department saying, we don't need vaccinated people, come plow our snow park lots. So he's wrong on that. And so there's, I don't understand how you can have a vaccine mandate that covers cabinet level, but doesn't cover every state employee or contractor in their agency. So there's a lot of kind of incongruity going on here.
Well, because
I'm
a scam.
Sure you're well aware of that.
It's a scam, Chris. That's why. Chris Sullivan, by the way, joining me on the line. Here's a question for you. And I don't know if they got into this during the meeting yesterday, but my assumption is the answer is yes. If you have some catastrophic emergency that requires staff, and they're desperate, and even though they want to pretend that they didn't fire anybody at WSDOT and it didn't have any impact whatsoever on anything that they do ever, we know that to be a lie, would they then say, we will allow, under these circumstances, unvaccinated people to work?
That answer was never given by Roger Millar, though it was asked primarily in the House Transportation Committee earlier this week. Several Republican lawmakers had asked, can we revisit the protocols if in an emergency like this where we need to get people through, can we revisit that? And Roger Millar never answered that question in any direct fashion.
But
that's what they were asking for.
What did he say?
He kept going back to, well, it's a governmental governor's proclamation, and
which is true.
He just danced around it. He danced around it without ever saying, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe we should look at this." But it was brought up.
Yeah, and that's actually a point that I think is worth mentioning. So he is obviously correct in that the mandate is coming from the governor. It's not coming from Roger Millar. Now, would Roger Millar, if he were in that position, make the same decision? Probably. However, he could very clearly say what you just did, which is, you know what, that is a worthwhile conversation to have. If we were obviously in a situation where there was some mass emergency and we desperately needed staff, I think we should at least prepare for that. Let's continue this discussion, but it has to be with the governor's office. But you're saying he didn't really even do that.
He did. He just kind of went back to the talking points and didn't really discuss that. But he did discuss, you know, when other questions came up not related to snow removals, like, oh yeah, that's an interesting idea. But it never seemed to get that far, certainly when Andrew Barkas and Barkas. Even Senator King yesterday mentioned in the Senate transpo was, hey, you know, what can we do here? Never really got a satisfactory answer as to whether or not that would be something that would be palatable or even worth looking at.
So at the end of the day, regardless of how all of this went down and the feelings of either, you know, WSDOT or the Kittitas County Commissioners, is the whole point of this just to highlight what the policy is and its significant downsides?
I think what you have is you have the commissioners over there who are not fans of the vaccine mandate, and they tried to make a point. They shot, and I think it blew up. Well, matter of fact, one of the commissioners told me yesterday, we didn't expect it to get this kind of coverage. And it's possible that...
I talked about it on Fox News last night.
Yeah, I know. And I think they were expecting this to maybe be in the Ellensburg newspaper and not go west of the Cascades. And it did. And maybe... it's hard to say, but what they honestly believe that the vaccine mandate and people driving in cabs by themselves and other things are valid points to bring up going forward.
You're right.
And I would agree, especially when it comes to an emergency situation like we had. The Department of Transportation and the governor disagree.
Yeah, well, because they don't know what they're doing, and this is more of a cult-like position that they're taking. They are blinded by their ideology. They're not paying attention to the science. Do masks work or not? If the masks don't work, then just say that. If they do work, then it doesn't matter whether or not someone is unvaccinated, dealing with, in a rare case, in an example like this, a member of the public. Let's just be honest about it. It's very rare. And if you're that concerned, then you know what? Guess what? You've got more staff members who are alone in their snow plows who you can then prioritize on that. And then the folks who are vaccinated, you can prioritize them to respond to the emergencies that you're concerned with happening. Although, again, remember, hospitals, it doesn't really matter. You can be coughing and sneezing and dribbling out the nose, all your COVID disgustingness, but then be tasked with treating patients. Weird how that all works.
Yeah, the incongruity is becoming plain to everyone.
Yeah, everyone knows. Thank you so much, Chris Sullivan from our sister station, Kyle Radio. Thanks for stopping by.
Anytime, Jason.
You're listening to The Jason Rants Show. Back with more after this.